It's 9:06, and welcome to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher. My co-host today, Barbara Bretz. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, Les.
So you have been busy. You bring friends in, and you guys just have a lot of fun.
We do. We try to hit as many movies as we can, and I have to admit it's been a little more difficult this year. I think some of the bigger premieres were pretty tough tickets to get, so we have been doing some waitlisting, but it's been a pretty solid year so far.
Yeah. So how's the waitlist worked for you, the new Eat Waitlist?
Mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. I have been successful in getting a number, and some of my friends have as well, but we've been turned away several times. Hear a lot of discussions about people getting kicked off the system, that they press right away and they see that it's entirely open, they see the numbers going up and they're just unable to connect, or they get a systems error. So I think a lot of people have been frustrated with the system. But all in all, I think it accomplished what Sundance meant for it to do, which was to decrease the number of people congregating, I think, around the theaters. That definitely has decreased.
Mm-hmm. So have you been trying at like the Eccles and the Mark where there's more seats?
I have. And one thing I would like to comment on, and I hope Sundance considers it for next year, is, you know, after the wait list numbers are gone, they have you come back in order and line up, and 30 minutes before they cut that time off. So if you come with your number after that 30 minutes prior to the screening, you have to go to the end of the line. And my comment is, I wish that other people who didn't have a number could also just get at the end of the line, because I think a lot of people, if their number is higher, they tend to not show up. And I think of the 300 tickets or 200 tickets that they gave away, I think a large portion of people are not showing up for those counts. And I think it wouldn't hurt to allow it to be open-ended at the back of the line, so that even if you don't have a number, you could go ahead and get in line. And I think some of the venues are doing it, but they're not doing it at Eccles.
Oh, so it kind of here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. So, okay, well, you've had an opportunity to see some films. Let's talk about your favorite so far.
Well, you know, my favorite so far is Boyhood. That's the film that got a lot of buzz because it is Linklater's movie that took over 12 years to film and to do. That's really hard to imagine, and it was really incredible to see, and even more special to get the insight from the director and the cast members who were involved in that long process. And of course, Ethan Hawke was one of the stars, and he's no stranger to it because he's also partnered with Linklater in the trilogy of Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and After Midnight, which was also about, it, I think, more than a 10-year project in total. But the movie was really fascinating, and to think that they really built that whole movie around who was then a five-year-old child, Eller Coltrane, I think is his name. And it was just fascinating to see the kids grow up on film and to hear them all interact with each other. It was really great. So that's been my favorite by far.
Yeah. Did they talk about, I mean, what would have happened to the film had something happened to one of the characters?
You know, they didn't really address that. Ethan Hawke kind of took over the Q&A, which we thoroughly enjoy. And he asked the daughter, the girl who plays the sister in the movie, is actually Linklater's own daughter, Lorelai. And he said, how old were you when this project began? And she said, 8. And he said, and how old were you when you wanted to quit? And she said, well, about 4 years into it, I asked my dad if he couldn't just kill off my character. And he said that would be way too dramatic. But you could tell that they all just had really had a bonding experience, you know, throughout the whole process.
Yeah, so they came back, what, 10 days or something every year?
Not even. Oh. He said they would have 3 to 4 intense shooting days once a year. And so the film was done in 39 days of total shooting, which it just blows my mind to think of that. But it was very cool. It was really like getting a glimpse in somebody's real life, you know, the divorces, the graduations, the deaths, the whatever. And you just, it was just really fascinating. We loved it.
Okay. What else?
Well, you know, in that same long line, this is not one of my favorites, but I also saw a show called 52 Tuesdays, and I thought that was unique because it was filmed once a week on a Tuesday for a year, and that had to do with a transgender situation where a mother was changing into a woman was changing into a man, and her daughter would visit her once a week throughout that year. So the fascinating process was really seeing the mother physically go through these changes. They showed passage of time in a much different way, than the Linkletter film in that every 52 segment, it would have the date, and then it would have a few seconds of news footage of whatever was going on in the world that day. And it happened to be a pretty busy year with Arab Spring and all of those different cultural events going on. So that was interesting, but not in my top 10 or anything. I think my next favorite film would have been Cold in July. And I was totally surprised by that because I am not a shoot 'em up, brains on the wall kind of moviegoer. And this movie had that, but the story was just so good. And the characters were great too. In fact, I made it a point to talk to the author. It was based on a book of the same title that came out in the 80s. So the movie was set in the 80s. And I went over and told him, I'm not a fan of the shoot 'em ups, but your story made the whole thing. So it was great. I highly recommend Cold in July.
Okay. Anything else you want to highlight before we bring in our first guest?
White Bird in a Blizzard was awesome. We saw The One I Love. Very entertaining. I like Mark Duplass and just about everything he does. So that was really good. Whiplash was awesome. And Fishing Without Nets really took me by surprise, too, because that's a foreign language film with English subtitles. And I don't think I've ever speed read the text so fast so that I could not miss out on any action. And it's a Somali pirate movie, but I haven't seen Captain Phillips, so I can't compare the two. But this was really outstanding. I highly recommend it.
Okay. We're going to bring in our first guest, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Sundance Reel here on KPCW.
The Spur Bar and Grill is proud to support KPCW. Located down the alley at 352 Main Street, the Spur is open 7 days a week starting at noon for lunch, après-ski, dinner, drinks, and dancing. The website, thespurbarandgrill.com, includes music schedules, menus, and contact information.
Great, thanks. I'm going to get your photo if I could. Just in front of that microphone.